Today is our second Communion Sunday, following the one we held on June 28th. Do you remember the key word from the message I shared that day? Has it long enough that it slipped your mind? If someone asked me to name the single most important idea at the heart of Christian faith, in just one word, I would say this: hospitality. But let me be clear, I'm not talking about human hospitality. I'm talking about the hospitality of God. If our faith never leads us to learn and truly understand God's hospitality, what are we left with? Hospitality goes beyond the level of contract. It's not transactional. It does not operate on the principle of you get what you give, or I will do my part if we do yours. That kind of language doesn't belong here. Hospitality is one directional. It's given freely, without calculation. It's given without expectation. It sees every person with dignity and treats them accordingly. It is through this lens of hospitality that I have been thinking about and studying what's perhaps the most significant act in all of Christian practice, communion. As long as I'm preaching in this church, and whatever biblical theme I may be teaching on, I do not believe I will ever wander outside the boundary of God's hospitality. It is that central. It was God's hospitality that drew me away from a life of sin. It was God's hospitality that introduced me to Jesus. It was God's hospitality that led me commit my life to following Christ. And it's God's hospitality that has called me to become an agent of the same hospitality in the lives of others. The message I preached last month on June 28th was an introduction to this theology of hospitality. Going forward, I want to explore this theme more deeply, grounding it in the concrete stories and narratives of Scripture. You know, the Lord's Supper is a New Testament event. But I want us to discover together is how this theological reality of the Lord's Supper stretches all the way back into the Old Testament. If we are mature Christian or believer, you know that no single event in Scripture should be interpreted in isolation, confined only its immediate words or moments in time. Every text, every event is connected from the Old Testament all the way through the New. The Bible, whether it contains 66 books or more, is one grand event, one great and unified narrative on God's hospitality. And the Lord's Supper is the apex of God's hospitality toward humanity. And the right theological perspective is to understand that it begins in the Old Testament. Do you remember? In last month's communion message, what Old Testament event did I speak about? It was an account of Abraham extending hospitality to three heavenly visitors. Most of you know this story well. Today, I want to revisit this event and then trace how it leaps across 1,000 years to connect with the New Testament accounts of the king's banquet and the Lord's Supper. So we are going to visit 3 tables in the Old and New Testament. And by the time we arrive at the 3rd table, I believe you will never look at communion the same way again. Let's first begin with Abraham's table. Let's go back to Genesis 18. The Lord appeared to Abraham near the great trees of Mamre while he was sitting at the entrance of his tent in the heat of the day. Abraham looked up and saw 3 men standing nearby. When he saw them, he hurried from the entrance of his tent to meet them and bowed low to the ground. I want to picture this scene with great care. It's the middle of the day. The desert sun is at its most brutal. Any sensible person is resting inside. Abraham is an old man, 99 years old, the scripture tells us. He has every reason, every excuse, every physical justification to stay where he is. And then 3 strangers appear on the horizon. Now notice what the text says. Abraham does not wait. Abraham does not calculate. The Bible says he hurried. He ran, an old man, in the heat of the day. Ran toward the 3 strangers. He did not know. This is the first picture of radical hospitality in the biblical narrative. He did not ask, "Who are you?" He did not ask, "What do you need?" He did not ask, what will you give me in return?" He simply moved toward them immediately. Listen to what he says in verse 3. "If I have found favor in your eyes, my Lord, do not pass your servant by. Let a little water be brought, and then you may all wash your feet and rest under this tree. Let me get you something to eat. You can be refreshed and then go on your way. Now you have come to your servant." A little water, something to eat. This is how Abraham frames it. But look at what he actually does. He rushed into the tent and tells Sarah to prepare 3 seahs of the finest flour. That's roughly 60 pounds of bread. He runs to the herd and selects a choice and tend the calf, the best animal he has. He prepares curds and milk. He prepares a feast for strangers. With no contract, with no expectation of return. This is the first meal in the great story of divine hospitality. But here is what we need you to understand, and this is the theological heartbeat of this entire message. The 3 strangers are not simply travelers. Verse 1 tells us, before the visitors even appear, the Lord appeared to Abraham. These visitors are divine visitation, and one of them speaks as God himself. Do you see what's happening? Abraham extends hospitality to God, and God extends hospitality to Abraham. At this table, Abraham feeds strangers. But through these strangers, God delivers to Abraham the most extraordinary gift, the promise that Sarah, at 90 years old, will bear a son, Isaac, the child of the covenant. The meal is shared, and from the shared meal, the future of redemption itself is announced. The table, even here in a desert under a tree with a flower and a calf, is the place where earth and heaven meet, where hospitality opens the door to encounter, where God's promise arrives. Fast forward now, 1,000 years, and we are now in the New Testament. And Jesus teaching, and he tells a parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a king who prepared a wedding banquet for his son. A king, a son, a wedding banquet. In the ancient world, a royal wedding banquet was the highest honor a citizen could receive. To be invited to the king's table was to elevate it, to be treated as one who belongs in the presence of royalty. The king sends out invitations to the guest, the chosen ones, the expected ones, but they refuse to come. He sends the servants again. They ignore them. Some seize the servants, mistreat them, and kill them. And here is where the parable turns, and turns dramatically. The king says to his servant in verse 9, "Go to the street corners, invite to the banquet anyone you find. Anyone. Not the deserving, not the prepared, not the worthy." The servants go out into the roads and gather all the people they can find, both good and bad. And the wedding hall is filled with guests. I want you to feel the weight of that phrase, both good and bad. The king does not curate the guest list based upon moral qualifications. He does not run background checks. He does not require a resume of righteousness. He sends his servant to the street corners, to the margins, to the forgotten, to the unexpected, and he says, "Tell them there is room. Tell them to come." This is the hospitality of the kingdom. It's not earned. It's not selective in the way we expect. It's radically, scandalously inclusive, not because the guest deserved it, but because the king is generous. The king sent for us anyway. Now we arrive at the third table, and this one is different from all the others. Because at this table, the host becomes the meal. When the hour came, Jesus reclined at the table, and his disciples with him. And he said to them, "I have eagerly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer." I have eagerly desired. And stop there. This is God in flesh, on the eve of his own crucifixion. And what he's expressing is longing, desire, eagerness. He wanted to be at this table with his disciples. He could not wait. This is not obligation. This is not duty. This is a host who longs to gather his guest. And then he takes the bread and cup, saying, "This is for you. Not because of you, not because of what you've done or what you've deserved and what you brought to the table, just for you. Yet lowered the table, God himself became the bread. He himself becomes the cup. God gives not just his resources, not just his invitation, he gives his body, he gives his blood. This is a hospitality that has no parallel in all of human history. Every other guest prepares a meal for the guest, but Jesus is the meal. Every other act of hospitality costs the host something, but this act of hospitality costs the host everything. The bread is broken as his body will be broken. The cup is poured as his blood will be poured. And he placed it in your hands and said, take it, eat, drink. This is for you, freely, without condition, without cost to you. Let me draw the thread together now. Abraham sits at his tent door and runs toward the strangers. He does not wait to be asked. He moves first. God is like that. He does not wait for us to find him, to clean ourselves up, to earn our place. He moves first. He runs towards us. The king empties his banquet hall of the expected guest and fills it with the people from the street. He overturns every human category of who belongs. God is like that. His table does not honor the powerful or the polished. It's scandalously set for the broken, the lost, the ones who never thought they would be invited. Jesus takes bread and cup and presses them into the hands of his disciples, one of whom he knows will betray him, one of whom will deny him, all of whom will abandon him. He serves them anyway. He gives himself anyway. God is like that. He knows exactly who we are. Every failure, every betrayal, every cowardice, and he gives himself to us anyway. This is the story Scripture has been telling from the beginning. Hospitality, grace, a table set by a God who gives we cannot earn. What does this mean for us? When you come to this table today, when you take the bread and cup, I want you to remember three things. First, you did not earn your seat here. No amount of devotion, no record of attendance, no moral effort placed you at this table. You are here because a host run towards you. You are here because a king sent servant to the street corners. You are here because Jesus eagerly desired to share his meal with you. So come with humility. So come with wonder. Second, the meal transforms the guest. Abraham was visited at his table and walked away with a promise that changed the entire trajectory of human history. The guests at King's banquet were gathered from the street and seated in a royal hall. When you receive the body and blood of Jesus, you do not walk away the same. Something is deposited in you. Something is renewed. The table is not a ritual. It's an encounter. expect to be changed. Finally, the third, the table sends you out. Abraham's hospitality produced in him a deeper understanding of God's ways. The guests at the banquet were not gathered to simply eat. They were gathered to be part of the kingdom. When you rise from this table, you rise as someone who has been hosted by God, which means you are sent to be a host to others. To run towards strangers, to set a table, a place for the forgotten, to give freely what you have freely received. The most important word in Christian faith is not law. It's not doctrine. It's not even salvation, as essential as that is. The most important word, the word underneath all other words, is this: welcome. God has been saying it since Abraham's tent in Mamre. He said in a parable about a king who opened his banquet hall to strangers. He said in an upper room on the night before he died, when he took bread and broke it and said, "This is for you." And he says it now, to you and to you and to you all, exactly as you are, right here, right now. "Look, I stand at the door and knock. If you hear my voice and open the door, I will come in, and we will share a meal together as friends." Revelation 3:20.